Good morning. I want to convene the House Education Finance Committee today. Thank you, members. We have an exciting day with students, so I want to make sure we get off to a good start here. With that, our first order of business is approval of the minutes from February 29th, 2024. Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, I have spoken to Ms. Abraha about a spelling error, and so with that correction, I move the minutes from February 29th.
Thank you. Representative Jordan moves the minutes from February 29th with a clerical correction. And are there any other questions for the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. Minutes for February 29th, 2024 with correction is adopted. And with that, members, our next order of business is one of my favorite days. We have Student Voices Day. We're excited to welcome students from around the state to tell us a little bit about their experience in our schools. And I think what we'll do is I will we'll do folks two at a time, and then I'll tell you the next two that are on deck. So the two people I first call can come down together. I have Javon Rush Reese from Robbinsdale and Candace Lewis from Robbinsdale. And then after that will be Darian Muhan from Robbinsdale and Chad Hill from Robbinsdale. So Javon Ruth Reese and Candace Lewis, please come down. And once you get settled, you can you can go ahead and once you get settled, state your name for the record and proceed. And if you state your name for the record and then also what school you attend, that would be great. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jemon Rush Reese, Robbinsdale Cooper High School. Overall, I've had a great and fun high school experience, riddled with tons of opportunities. I'm a part of Cooper's Catch Up and Succeed program led by Steve Hoffman, Student Council led by Caroline Geisey, and Cooper's Leo Club led by Charles Rush Reese and Caroline Geisey. These are all programs that have allowed me to experience what it's like to volunteer, work together as a team, and work on my project building skills that can all later benefit me and my peers in life. I've been able to learn how to teach and tutor others and connect to people in a way that I would have never learned without these clubs and opportunities. These programs are ones that I believe were and are essential in building the character of who I am today. These programs fundraise, apply for grants, appeal to school boosters, and so much more when oftentimes the people we ask in our very own districts can't afford to help us out. These clubs are often underfunded, but get by and make do with what they have. To be able to not worry about money or funding problems would be extremely beneficial. These are clubs where students can one-on-one tutor each other, work together to create many grand projects that can help benefit school climate or outside community, to experience acts of service and have fun with volunteering, to have opportunities to come and speak at events such as this, which are all beneficial and are extremely beneficial to the developing youth. School, specifically high school, isn't just about grades, sports, and socializing. It's an impasse where children can go to become young adults and better people. Clubs and programs such as the one I'm in and previously stated give back to kids in many ways. And to have you or anybody be able to give back to these clubs is only another way of helping us succeed and see all the things we could see, do all the things we could do, and help us experience much things in our time in high school that we wouldn't normally be able to have as a predominantly POC or predominantly POC public school.
Thank you so much. And with that, go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Candace Lewis. I'm from Robbinsdale Cooper High School. Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm a senior, so my days are numbered at Cooper High School. But still, it has been a great experience, and I'm just so passionate about school in general, and I would really like to see, as I finish there, the love for learning come back, not just in Cooper High School, but in all schools. And I feel like, of course, most of us coming to high school during the corona times, that hindered it a lot. And getting back into school, I really wish we can see that love come back. I mean, modern classroom is not inherently bad. It's a great idea. But the over-reliance on technology and how it creates such an individualized community within the classroom and doesn't really let us explore how we should collaborate with the young students around us, because when it comes to real life, we're always going to work with others. We're going to collaborate with other people, and we need that back. We should be focused on getting better textbooks to look into instead of having to rely on Chromebooks, which sometimes the Schoology may be down in this class, the Wi-Fi may be down here. It's just, we can have those textbooks, we can have better things that come with us learning and not anything hindering that as well. Not only just textbooks or modern classroom or that, another thing that I feel very passionate about when it comes to my school is standardized testing. I am in an organization called AVID, Advancement Via Individual Determination. It is a great, great program. But the kids who are not in AVID, when it comes to standardized testing, there's nothing for them. We do 45-minute packets in AVID, and that was great for me. It helped a lot. I don't know how I would have even started with the ACTs if it wasn't for that. But talking to my friends who wasn't in it, there was nothing for them. No resources, not even old packets to look at or test. They had to go out of their way to find it themselves, which in school, that should never be an option. And it should never be something they have to do, because that's what they're there to do and they're there to learn. And I feel as though that's something we should prioritize, and really making sure that regardless of anything else in school, the most important thing is learning. That's what we're there to do, that's what we came there for, and that's what we hope to continue to do as we further on to post-secondary education as a generally POC-dominated school. And with the kids, you see how it hinders them when they don't have that confidence to say, I know that I'm able to go to another place after I finish high school, because of what they see around them and because of how they're impacted with whatever the ACT scores are or whatever their classroom looks like due to even not having smaller class sizes with qualified teachers to get more of an in-depth learning and having really one-to-one with the teachers. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the shout-out for AVID. It is a great program. With that, next up we have Darian Muhan and Chad Hill, and then on deck will be Raja Chinako, Tia, and Emma Anderson. And clearly you're going to have to state your name for the record once you get settled and your school, because I probably pronounced half of those wrong. So once you get settled, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Daria Muhan, and I go to Robinson Cooper High School. I am a senior, so this is my final year, and even though I'm sad to go, I'm extremely happy to be done with high school. I've been in the Robbinsdale district since I was in kindergarten, starting off with Northport, going to RMS, and ending it off at Cooper. The Robbinsdale district has been extremely good to me. They've helped me build such characteristics and just important traits that I have in my life. And I thank Cooper for giving me that opportunity to just be who I am today. I'm one of those seniors where I get told that I'm everywhere in the school. Like, you see me in the halls, you see me everywhere, because I'm just involved in so many different activities. I'm in student council, I'm in MAC, I'm a cheerleader, I'm a dancer, I'm in AVID, I'm in Leo's Club, I'm just everywhere in the school. And the reason why I joined these programs was because they empower student voice. They let students be heard. They let students share their feelings, their opinions about how school is, how their life is. They make sure that students feel important and that whatever they're saying or whatever they need to speak on is important and is valued. That is why I feel it is important that we continue to support student voice as we continue on in the future. We can't improve in this world with anything or with anything that we do without the importance of the youth and the voice of the youth. The youth is the future, and we as, I mean, people as teachers, adults, admin staff have to continue to support that. They have to believe that the youth will carry on whatever amazing things that we already have planned. Also, that's why I feel like when it comes to funding for sports or organizations, that has to be taken seriously, because this is what builds kids now. Like them, those traits, those experiences of being in like a part of a group and being a part of a team, that is what builds characteristics and builds just amazing traits that they can have for themselves in the future life. And that's why I feel like, you know, student voice is just too important to just not pay attention to. Like, we have to continue to fund for that and support that strongly from the back. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much. State your name for the record and the school.
All right. My name is Chad Hill, and I go to Robinson Cooper High School, and I'm in 10th grade. Well, it kind of took a lot of what I was going to say. But two things that I really want to talk about is my experience in high school has been really good. I'm a part of I'm the vice president of student council. I'm the first sophomore to ever get vice president at Cooper. I play football. I do track. I play ultimate frisbee. I do a lot of other extracurricular activities. I'm part of a lot of leadership groups and leadership panels. But one thing that I really think that's important that I think is unique about our district that advocates for, and I don't know about if other districts advocate for it too, but is an HBCU class and tour that we go on, an HSI tour. HBCU stands for Historically Black College University, and HSI stands for Hispanic Serving Institutions. And the class itself teaches people, you know, teaches students about race and identity, and you learn about yourself before you go on the trip. And there's certain states that we go to and tour HBCUs and HSIs down south, and our district funds it and advocates for it every year. And I think it's important for other districts to do that too, especially maybe not specifically HBCUs or HSIs, but other institutions that serve people that people identify with, and advocating for that and having people to go down to different communities and, you know, and see a different life and see the history of these places down south or, you know, west, east, it doesn't matter. But I think advocating for post-secondary education in other places rather than just the state is very important, because you get to experience what life is out of state and in, you know, and what it's like cultural wise and the foods and all different types of stuff. And another thing is, you know, being a part of athletics, I think it's important to also advocate for other activities like band and orchestra. And I don't participate in that myself, but I see that students, you know, sometimes struggle with the funding of it. So I think having the funding for other things that are especially academics, you know, I think a lot of people want to punish people for doing bad in, you know, academics, but why don't we start rewarding people who are doing good? So I think, you know, who strictly just do academics, because some people don't play it, do athletics like me, or do, you know, play an instrument or something like that. So I think it's really important for people to also get funding, and possibly, you know, boosters, you know, to raise for fundraising and stuff like that is very important. And I hope that, you know, it's considered that finding a way and a system to do so.
Thank you so much. Next up we have Raja China Cotilla and Emma Anderson, and then up after that we have Jesus Carrillo and Ella Olson. Oh, and Emma Anderson is remote. That's why no one's walking up with you. I just noticed that. And I am so sorry. We've met so many times, and I still can't pronounce your last name right. So please state your name for the record.
I'm Raja Chinakotla from Edina High School. And then I'm very excited that I'm here today, especially with the Edina Legislative Action Committee. The LAC has provided me so many opportunities of speaking with senators and House representatives with talking about school issues. And I've been in Edina Public School District since first grade, so I've, like, basically seen most of Edina School District, and I've had an amazing time there. They've offered me so many resources and opportunities that I may would have not find elsewhere. But, like, during my time at Edina School District, I believe that there could be, like, some improvements that could, like, benefit not just Edina, but school districts across the entire state of Minnesota. For one, the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the mental health crisis among youth. So I was talking with a lot of members of the LAC, and oftentimes we have to wait 5 to 7 days to actually see our counselors, which for times of need, we oftentimes need, like, immediate attention. And then also our current ratio for staffing is around 1 to 270, while that is close to the benchmark of 1 to 250, we still, for many other school districts around Minnesota, like, oftentimes we are not meeting that target. So I believe to support, like, all students, that we could support more counselors and more opportunities for mental health. But another way which we can support students is helping provide greater representation of the classroom. So in a predominantly white district, I can count on, like, the number of my hand, like, the number of fingers on my hands, amount of teachers of color I had. And I've had many, many teachers. And unfortunately, oftentimes teachers of color are not seen across the entire state of Minnesota. So I believe that, for one, to uplift many students of color is to allow opportunities not just to help teachers of color get into the classroom, but allow teachers of color to be maintaining in the classroom and retain teachers of color. Because especially for students in predominantly white districts, I've personally found that, like, for example, my school counselor, who is Asian American, we help create the AAPI Student Union, and we're creating safe spaces for Asian American students across Edina to speak about issues. Moreover, I've experienced, especially like in the high school level, that having teachers of color, safe spaces are created for students of color to talk about issues like race that we are facing in the district. So to reiterate, I hope that this date would be able to provide more opportunities and resources for teachers of color to maintain, to like become teachers and to retain, because if we're not supporting teachers of color, then we're not supporting our students of color, because those two are extremely intertwined. Yeah, I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. And with that, next up, we have Emma Anderson. Could you please state your name for the record and what school you go to, and then proceed?
Hi, I am Emma Anderson from Moorhead High School. I am a senior this year, so this is my last year here, and I've only been a part of this school system for about 3 years. I was originally a part of a private school in Fargo, North Dakota, which is just across the river from me. And I'm so grateful for what this school has given me. The distribution of funding here is incredible for clubs. Like, I'm in speech and debate, and I'm also in theater, and the funding that we get compared to, say, weightlifting or football or hockey is pretty equal, and it's a very well-distributed funding. We just got a new building this semester, and the gender-neutral bathrooms are incredible, and they create a safe space for a lot of our queer students. I'm a part of the queer community, and my friends who are also part of it and who identify as trans or non-binary find that it is a safer environment for them. And the free feminine products in the bathroom are also incredibly helpful for people who maybe can't buy that themselves or will forget. But there is also an issue with that. A lot of our male students have an issue with the feminine products. We've had issues with them flushing them down the toilet because they don't understand the importance of them. And there's an issue with the single stalls because you can never tell how long somebody's in there for. So we have an issue since there's less of them now because they take up so much more space. They tend to always be full. It's harder to find a free stall in the bathroom when you're trying to go. And I just kind of wish there was maybe a class or a required course where the guys have to specifically learn the importance of these feminine products so they don't just waste them, because the girls do need them at some points. And if there is a way for us to, since we now have school-issued IDs, if there's a way for us to maybe check into the bathroom so we don't have kids who are in there for maybe their full blocks at a time, because people do need to use them and they shouldn't just be a space to skip, which our school is getting really good at making sure kids are not skipping and making sure that everyone's getting their in attendance in. But just a way to make sure there is space for us to go. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for testifying. And then next up, also remotely, we have Jesus Carrillo, and then on deck, Ella Olson and Chelsea Niba. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, I'm Jesus Carrillo. I'm a senior at the Fergus Falls Area Learning Center, and I'm a MapStars state officer, which means I represent alternative schools at the state level. And I'd just like to, just my overall educational experience as a alternative school student. Well, overall, I think alternative schools are very important for the educational, like, just overall. It gives students a different way to learn real world experiences. And I personally like it because I could build a better relationship with students and staff. And here at the Fergus Falls, I have the same and equal opportunities as I would get at a regular high school. I'm in football and wrestling. And I know students here are also a part of theater and speech. And overall, I think the alternative schools are just as equal as regular high schools. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, we have Ella Olson and Chelsea Aniba. And then on deck, we have Moxie Gagnon and Tess Michalik. Go ahead, and once you get settled, state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, my name is Ella Olson, and I'm a senior at St. Michael Albertville High School. As I prepare to graduate in May, I am very aware that across the state of Minnesota, not every high school student will have had the same educational opportunities due to inadequate funding. My school district is heavily impacted by this. Without the funding to provide enough teachers to keep lower class sizes, provide as many AP classes, and expand foreign language opportunities, St. Michael Albertville students can't save as much money in college as some of our peers at other districts. We can't have as much individualized student attention, and we may be more limited in our understandings of other cultures. Now, some of you may have heard me or my district share this message before. You might say that we sound like a broken record. However, a broken record doesn't sound broken because everything's okay. Things need fixing. I'm sitting before you today to say that each year feels the same regardless of what bills are thrown at the situation. We still have to make budget cuts. Teachers are still leaving our district to go get paid more at other districts that receive more funding. Our school district is still property poor, and we place a heavy burden on taxpayers, making a levy nearly impossible. Students are currently being punished for where we live. Where we live determines our educational opportunities throughout our lives. We are students. We don't get to pick where we live. We don't get to pick where we go to school or who our legislators that are in charge of properly funding our schools are. Students across the state of Minnesota deserve better. We are the future, and we are worth the investment. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, Chelsea Neba. Go ahead, state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning. My name is Chelsea Neba. I am currently a senior at SCMA High School. And this school year has given me many different experiences, such as making speeches like this and being a part of change. I'm slowly finding myself and figuring out my future. At my school, I was recently part of a meeting where the principal and administration asked the small group of students of color how they would feel about addressing microaggressions throughout our school and telling our stories. The fact that my school was able to come to us first and not out of rash without real representation of students of color shows how much they care about every single student and every single experience. At SCMA, the staff and teachers place the students' interests first, and I believe that that is the reason why we do so well in tough circumstances such as low funding. SCMA being 322 out of 328 on the funding list puts an economic pressure and emotional pressure on the students and staff. The ratio of one teacher to 30 students in each class creates a wall between relationships. Our teachers have to work harder for less pay to ensure that every voice in that packed classroom is heard. Relationships are one of the most important factors in a child's education. It can make or break the child's view on school. An increase in equitable funding would allow for students to build stronger relationships with their teachers. We understand that because of where we live, the chances of increased funding are lower, but our slogan is excellence is our tradition, and we do our best to keep that tradition alive. A child's education should not be hindered by the place they live. The new bill, HF4058, would lessen the funding gap, decrease class sizes, open up opportunities for students, and make it easier to build those important relationships. We acknowledge the effort to change the system, and we hope it won't stop here, and you'll continue to use your position to improve the quality of education for all students. At SCMA, we believe that excellence is our tradition, but it should be yours as well. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And then next up, we have Moxie Gagnon. No worries. We have plenty of time. Just take your time to settle in. Yep. Welcome to committee. Go ahead and when you're ready, state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Moxie Ganya. I currently go to White Bear Lake High School North Campus, but I did go to Corner Blue Education Center before. Started Corner Blue in first grade because, well, I wasn't a very good listener and I struggled with change a lot. And situations that I couldn't control were quite difficult. A few skills that I learned there that I still use today are, well, working with patients and taking a minute to think about a situation before reacting, taking deep breaths, coping ahead with situational narratives, things like that. My time at Corner Blue helped me to feel accepted and as well as to gain my voice and do things like become vice president of the Gender and Sexuality Awareness Club in my current school and to join choir as well and to help me advocate for myself. The best advice I can give for other students who may face similar challenges as I did is don't rush things. Don't push yourself into situations without, you know, I don't know, knowing what you're doing. I had more. I'm sorry. Find people who accept you for who you are. Don't force yourself to fit in. You can become the kind of person you want to if you try hard enough. That's all I had written down.
Thank you so much for sharing your personal story and for being here today. Next up, we have Tess Malchlek and Jaden Leary from St. Louis Park High School. One's remote, but Tess is here with us today. So once you get settled, go ahead and state your name and your school for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Tess Malchlek, and I'm a sophomore at St. Louis Park High School. I would like to start by commending the committee for their role in passing the free school meals bill last session. In St. Louis Park, 19% of families with children make use of our local food shelf step at some point during the year. That means that around 1 in 5 of my fellow students experience or have experienced food insecurity during the year and very likely get a key portion of their nutrition from school. I believe that this has helped cultivate a stronger and healthier community at my school and can lead to a better education for everyone. Next, I would like to bring up two issues of personal importance to the committee. Last session, a democracy bill was passed, which included pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds. For a law and public policy class at my school, I investigated pre-registration by conducting a simple two-question poll. Of the students who were polled, 84% were aware that they could register now or when they turned 16, but only 17.8% knew the steps or how to register. It is vitally important that my generation is actively engaged in democracy to address major issues in our collective future. In 2022, Minnesota had the third highest voter turnout rate in the 18 to 29 age range in the country, yet this is still 26% lower than the overall voter turnout rate in the 2022 Minnesota midterms. I believe that it is a school's responsibility to provide all students with a well-rounded education, which includes a civic education, which means knowledge on how to vote. My poll shows a clear lack of voter education among students, and I ask that the committee consider ways to improve voter awareness surrounding pre-registration in Minnesota schools. The second issue I would like to bring up is mental health. Every student I know has struggled or knows someone who has struggled with mental health at some point during the school year. While there are a considerable amount of mental health resources at my school, because of stigma, many students don't know about them. During research for this very testimony, I learned of resources that had never been advertised to me or my fellow students. Clearly, there is a disconnect that needs to be addressed surrounding stigma. In this era of mental health crises in the world and around young people, it is essential that we prioritize finding ways to destigmatize mental health and mental health resources for a better and stronger community at my school and other schools. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Jaden Leary remotely. Please state your name for the record and your school and proceed.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jaden Leary. I am a junior at St. Louis Park High School. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of committee. Thank you for allowing youth to speak on a topic so personal to us. I would like to speak about a very specific issue, school board student representation and being required to have voting power. Imagine a school system where the voices of its primary stakeholders and participants, the students, are not just heard but have the power to influence decisions. It's not about handing over control necessarily, but about fostering a really close partnership and relationship between students and adults and the administration and system that runs them. By granting kids voting power and requiring that there is school board representation on a school board, we acknowledge their insights and experiences as valuable and essential to making informed decisions that directly affect their daily lives and education. This policy is a step towards preparing our children for the responsibilities of democratic citizenship. It teaches them the importance of participation, representation, and the value of their voice in a democratic society. It encourages a sense of ownership and accountability for the education and school environment. Some might question the maturity and wisdom of teenagers making impactful decisions. However, I believe they underestimate the capacity of youth to learn, adapt, and contribute meaningful insights into their education. With the right guidance and support, I believe their decisions can be just as informed and valuable as any adults. Furthermore, incorporating the perspectives of students can lead to more innovative and effective solutions to the challenges schools face. After all, who better to consult about the needs and preferences of students than students themselves? Overall, granting voting power to kids on school boards and requiring that representation is on school boards in the first place is not just an investment in our education system, it's an investment in our democracy and the future leaders of our society. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And members, there's also a letter in your packet from Luca Jacoby Crone from Edina High School, speaking also about student representation on school boards. Just wanted to draw your attention to that. Next up, we have got Emily Carl Arsapalo from Stillwater, as well as Saran Fua from Stillwater. And then on deck is Talupe Tenanmoa from Stillwater, and Tristan Cher Story from Minneapolis. So go ahead, the first two, settle in, state your name for the record and the school you go to, and then proceed.
Hello, good morning. My name is Emily Carrillo. I'm a junior at Stillwater High School, junior representative on student council, and president of Latin Student Union Club at school. Today, I would quickly like to highlight the importance of the equitable funding for student-led BIPOC groups and groups such as student council in schools. Emphasizing that students should not deal with the lack of financial support. As a student, as a president of the student-led club in school, that club being LSU, I am sure that I can speak for many other clubs that it can be very difficult to host different meetings that consist of different activities every week. That can get really expensive, especially for like a student-led organization when that's coming out of a student's pocket. And promoting funding in these groups can emphasize an educational environment and emphasize the importance of students learning diversity and just having a place to go. And having funding for these can help represent like multicultural events, host like different meetings and everything, like I stated previously. Ensuring that every student has access to these clubs and like can ensure that they can participate in these inclusive events. Another thing that I feel very passionate about is that ethnic and culture study classes taught in schools should be a requirement. I know that in many schools across the state, it is an elective, and in some schools, it is a requirement. But I also know that, again, across the state, it's not even, like, a opportunity to take. And I think that having these classes in school, whether it's ethnic culture studies or anything like that, it can be very beneficial for students to not only learn about their peers' culture, but learn about their own culture and their own identity. I think there's definitely been a lack in school that's been taught about only the bad part of history, and I think that having this class not only teaches awareness and your learning about other students, I think it, like, having it a requirement, meaning everybody has to take it, can provide a space for students to know that they're getting their education. So, Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Sarani Fufa, and I'm a junior at Stillwater Area High School. And I'm extremely grateful to be in this district. I've been in this district since I was in preschool. And so my high school experience is absolutely great. I'm a junior representative along with Emily on our student council, and I'm also a part of a club at our school called Student Leadership Council. I play cello in the Stillwater Area High School Orchestra, and I'm part of other like leadership groups as well outside of school. So Stillwater, as you may know, is a predominantly white district, but the diversity is progressively increasing. It is in a world where diversity is the norm. It is important that our high schools reflect this reality by implementing education that talks about diversity into our curriculum from an early age, such as elementary and middle schools. We equip our students with the tools that they need to navigate high school with students of different backgrounds, especially in a predominantly white high school. Teaching about diversity goes beyond simply acknowledging differences. It's about hosting a culture of respect and inclusion. When students learn about different cultures, religions, and perspectives, they develop empathy and understanding towards others who may be different from them. This leads to a more tolerant and accepting high school experience. What I find value about Stillwater is that we have a cultural and ethnic studies class, but this class is not required. It's just an elective, and I understand that it's hard to fit in electives and schedules because we have so many engaging electives to choose from. If this was a class or like the ideas taught in this cultural and ethnic studies class was being taught in middle and elementary schools, it would set a welcoming and inclusive environment when students come to the high school. To summarize, implementing comprehensive diversity education into our curriculum from an early age, we can foster a culture of inclusivity and understanding at our high schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And next up, we have Tulu Lope, Tani Moa, and Tristan. Share your story. Please settle in and go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed. And I apologize for the pronunciation. Go ahead.
One second. Okay, hi, my name is Tolu Lope Tani Majo, and I'm here to speak about funding for the music program at Stillwater Area High School. First, I'm a sophomore representative at Stillwater High School, and ever since like I was in fifth grade, since I played that first note, I've always had my goal set to play at the high school. Always been so excited to do it, but upon arriving at the high school since last year, my first thought upon getting there was that it was kind of disappointing. Number one, at Stillwater, some instruments need a lot of maintenance, and since it's a pretty old school, most of our instruments are really old, scratched up, banged up, and I feel like funding would allow for more maintenance. And
all right. Hey, thank you. Anything else you want to add? No, it's fine.
Yeah.
All right, next up, go ahead and state your name for the record and proceed.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tristan Shearstory. I attend MPS online. What I like about online school is the freedom of time. If I want to wake up at 11 a.m., you can bet I'm going to wake up at 11 a.m. I'm here today as a student representing my school. I started attending online school back in 2020 when the pandemic hit. As some of you may know, a lot of our schools got closed down, and a lot of students were forced into isolation because of this. But would you believe me if I said 4 years later, our students are still struggling with these issues? There is a major neglect towards the community in our online schools. We don't have clubs and activities at my school. We don't have chances to collaborate with our peers, and we don't have the opportunities to meet like-minded people. those I've spoken to chalk this up as to what's to be expected from online school. To this, I respond with Minnesota Connecting Academy, a K through 12 school outside of my district that does offer these things. They foster community, and they have events such as field trips, clubs, and advanced classes. Another argument I'm given is to just go in person. I, for one, attend MPS online because of the responsibilities I have outside of my classes. Some of us can't go in person. And to me, it's a shame that we should just miss out on opportunities others have just because of that. As students, it's important to our well-being and our education to have community-building opportunities. Without a community, a school can become a lonely and isolating and unmotivating experience. I believe providing more resources to our online schools would allow us to combat this, as well as to have better, better opportunities to host events, clubs, and build our communities. To conclude, I ask you all to acknowledge that there are some issues within some of our online schools, and that it is very easy to dismiss us or forget about us because we don't go brick and mortar. I hope that you all keep this in mind when making those important financial decisions for our school system. Thank you all for your time and allowing us students to come and speak. It means a lot.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Next up, we have Abdi Ufad Muhammad, who is remote, and then Sam Bahaji, who is in also remote. So go ahead, Abdi Muhammad, Abdi Hafid, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi, my name is Abdi Hafid Muhammad, and I'm currently a senior at Edison High School. I just want to start off by saying thank you for your time and allowing me to present. Overall, I've had a good experience in high school. I think these 4 years have been enjoyable. I've met a lot of influential people that have made my access to extracurriculars really easy. But moving on to my main point of advocacy, I wanted to talk about access to rigorous courses, and kind of maybe even expanding the lines on what's classified as a college credit opportunity class. And so earlier on, I wish I was able to get access to college credit courses and opportunities. Being coming from a low income single mother household, paying for college is unfortunately going to be really difficult. And so I've had to control my schedule trying to get as much college credit as I can. And so that made it really difficult to access the classes that I wanted to, because I kind of knew that every non-college credit class that I would take would be less college credit that I would obtain, and therefore more I'd have to pay for college. And so even after connecting with my peers at my school, as well as the MPS citywide student government, there's been a lot of mystery behind who gets access to college credit courses and who gets left behind. And so I was really hoping there'd be a lot more transparency behind that for people coming into high school and kind of a more student hands-on approach, and making kind of communicating what classes are college credit classes and which ones aren't. And so I'll end this off by kind of asking a question. Maybe I can connect with one of y'all. Why can't every class be a college credit class and have college credit opportunities? I think it's really beneficial to, addressing achievement gaps and and equity gaps as well. I think I would definitely benefit from having more opportunities and having more class opportunities that had college credit. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your time. And with that, we have Sam Bahaji remotely as well. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Hi there. My name is Sam Bahaji, and I'm a junior at Southwest High School. And some things that have been going well for me in high school is, like, I've had a really good – I'm a junior, so I've been in high school for 3 years. Had a really good 3 years. I feel like at Southwest specifically, we have a lot of opportunities for leadership, and, like, I really think, like, that can, like, improve student character. I also feel as if a lot of teachers have changed their way of teaching to be able to, like, make learning more hands-on and more present. And I feel as if this way of teaching has really helped my learning and kept me engaged throughout all my high school years. But, like, one, moving on to the next question about, like, what can state and lawmakers do to, like, improve and prioritize our educational experiences? Because I don't know how much power you guys have over, like, regulating which teachers teach or not, but for the most part, my, like, relationship with all my teachers has been good. But me and a lot of my friends have noticed that, like, teachers, a lot of teachers, especially within Southwest, kind of have a lack of motivation of teaching, and more so just give us, they don't really teach us as much, and more just give us material to kind of teach ourselves. And I feel like for a lot of students, that has, like, a lot of, like, motivation has gone down for a lot of students. Because, for example, for me, I go to all my classes, and math was my favorite subject throughout all, like, of middle school and elementary school and throughout high school. But this year with my current math teacher, I feel as if I haven't been able to learn that much, and he really doesn't teach us anything. And I feel like that has really, like, brought my love for math down a lot, and it was, like, a subject that I really enjoyed. But now when I get to class, I really don't learn anything because he doesn't really teach us anything. He more so just gives us material to kind of to look at, and just, like, really he thinks we know everything even though we don't. And that's, like, I noticed brought, like, a lot of the attendance down within our classes. And I just want to, like, make sure that, like, lawmakers and they, like, prioritize to be able to hire teachers that actually have motivation to teach and actually are able to create connections with students to make going to class more motivating and a more enjoyable place. And that's pretty much all I had to say.
Thank you, and thank you for sharing that with us. With that, members, I don't think we have any other students here to testify, unless there's some that are up here for with their school districts that may want to come up. No. Not seeing any takers. With that, I know some of the students may still be here in case folks have questions, but a lot of them had to get back to class. But any member questions or thoughts after hearing from our students? Everybody hasn't had enough coffee this morning. Representative Pryor.
All right. Well, thank you for all the students that testified today. And I think I know I speak for the whole committee, how much we appreciate those that have taken their time to be with us and share their thoughts and their experiences that we really benefit from hearing from, and from hearing the diversity of voices that we heard today. And I guess I can follow up about the credits for middle college and when they count and when they don't count. So if somebody wants to put us in touch, I can continue that discussion afterwards. And so thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair Pryor. Representative Crescia, did you want to follow up at all? See anybody else? Oh, Representative Greenman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I also want to echo thank you, and for the folks who are still here, thank you who came to testify, and thank you for the students who came to support the students who came to testify. And I would just take this as an invitation that we love to hear your voices, not just on Student Voices mm-hmm. Day, but on all of the issues we're working on. And I heard from many of you issues that are education related, but a bill after my own heart, pre-registration of 16 and 17-year-olds. I think you spoke eloquently about the need to have the engagement of young folks in all of the legislating we're doing. So I'm sure I also speak for all of us in saying reach out to your state representative. We'd love to have you in our other committees, and we just want to hear your voices. So thank you, Madam Chair, for doing this, and thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Representative Greenman. You said that way better than I could. We do appreciate all the students that came today to talk to us, but this is always an ongoing conversation and an open door to hear from our students in every aspect that affects them and will affect them into the future and how we make our investments here in Minnesota. And with that, members, we meet again tomorrow with some bills already posted on the calendar, as well as Thursday. So we are adjourned.